Good morning. Greet you all in Jesus' name this morning. I've been blessed by the service thus far, especially was blessed with the song, "Where Your Anchor Hold in the Storms of Life." And that is a real question for a lot of us. Are we held by the anchor of Jesus Christ in His Word? That is very needful in my life, and I trust that you experience His safety and His foundation of strength underneath us. I want to start off the sermon this morning with the question. It's a very simple question: is there any need for worry? And I'm not going to necessarily preach about worry, but I did pen this in on the top of my notes that we're so affected by things that are we perceive as coming, and we perceive as issues in front of us, and they're going to affect our lives and our family and our church and our society. We tend to worry about those things, and I think we're just human. We have emotions, and we are affected by the things that are coming down the pike. Is what we perceive as coming down the pike in our lives. There are many things to worry about, particularly in here at Mount Joy. Those of us who are, or those of you who are called to go on the outreach and considering the outreach, you need to worry about, you probably worry about that. You know, what am I going to do, and where am I going to find a place to live, and how am I going to provide for our family, and our sisters have different worries about that outreach. As you know, we're leaving the security of home and you know, the church and the friends and so forth, and it causes us some worry. I don't doubt that at all. Family pressures, they cause worry. We also worry about things like things that we hear that are coming. And, you know, I read the news a lot. I don't think that's any secret, probably too much. And I'm affected by the news reports to a greater or lesser degree, many times greater. And I read that the ozone layer that protects the earth is over the earth, that it has a growing hole in it. And this ozone layer protects us and keeps the ultraviolet rays at bay and from the sun. And as that hole grows bigger in the ozone layer, that protective gas layer over the earth, why then the sun ultraviolet rays heat up the earth. And of course, that has its own set of issues, own problems that we experience in our society is now beginning to, for the last number of years, especially since Al Gore was vice president, he gave many stern warnings about global warming, which is the sun's rays coming through the ozone layer and affecting us. And we see now that the we hear now that scientists are telling us that the recent violent storms we had are Hurricane Irma and Maria and another one that were all in play at one time here recently in the last couple of weeks, that they were, you know, really affecting our climate. And they say that has never happened before, where there's three hurricanes at play at one time. Never in the history of hurricane history or hurricane research, you might say, has three of them been in motion at one time. I don't know. I don't pay much attention to that. But that's what I read recently, that there was three hurricanes going across our atmosphere at one time. And it caused me to wonder what is happening, and to worry about our safety and how it's going to affect us. We're also told that 16 out of the 17 warmest years, hottest years on record, since they've been keeping record, has been in the 2000s. 16 out of the 17 warmest years have been in the 2000s. So you wonder, is there something happening? We only had 17 years in the 2000s, and we had 16 of the hottest years. And that is sort of a big deal. In fact, scientists are now predicting that there will be a noticeable and a physical, we will be able to notice and by physically observing this global warming before too long. They are saying that there will not be normal winter and normal summer. And one of the effects that interests me is that about this global warming and about the sun's rays coming into the earth at an unusual high pace is that the glaciers are melting at a rapid pace, and that we can see it and observe that ourselves. I personally have, Wendell lives in Alberta, and years ago when I was a boy back in the early 70s, our family took a trip to Alberta, and we were able to observe the glaciers, and this one glacier came almost down to the road. And now, here in the last year, I went to that same place in Banff and Jasper Park, and the glacier is now back 500 yards up the mountain, and it's barren landscape. Barren landscape below the glacier because the glacier has melted. So I think there is maybe something to that. But it's saying that normal winter and summer cycles are going to be affected. The result of the glaciers melting down is that we have rising sea levels. Sea levels has already risen, scientists say, by 8 inches in the last 50 years. And the Antarctica and the Arctic are melting at a rapid pace. And we are in danger of losing the ice cap that has controlled in our environment and atmosphere as the waters rise in the sea and the sun comes down through the ozone layer and melts that ice cap. It will affect our atmospheric environment. There also has been a wobble detected on the Earth's axis and is responsible for some climate damage, climate change. I would say that, or is there cause for worry about all these things? Harry says no. The subject of climate change does represent a human anxiousness about who we will believe, the scientist or the Word of God. It's very clear to me. Jesus said one day when his disciples came to him and he said, Jesus, teach us to pray. Lord, you teach us to pray. We want to know what you want us to pray for. We want to pray for the right thing. I believe that's in Luke. Lord, teach us to pray. In Matthew 6, it says, after this manner, pray ye. Jesus was giving instruction about prayer. So I want to go again to Matthew chapter 6, and verse 11 is the text for today. It's just a short text. It's not a lot of reading. It's just a short text of just 7 words. And these words are, give us this day our daily bread. How many of you have ever worried about whether you would have your daily bread? I think that's a very constant source of worry for we men. We worry about whether we can provide for our families and whether we will have our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. 7 words that should give us calmness and direction. It is, this verse is sandwiched between what we think is greater principles, greater doctrines. It says it is between the verse 10, thy kingdom come, the coming of the Holy Spirit, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, as it directs the church and gives direction there for the Holy Spirit in our lives. And then it says, forgive us our debtors as we forgive our debtors. We know that is very essential doctrine for we Christians. In fact, it's the cardinal principle, the cardinal doctrine on which our lives are built. But then here we seem to have, give us this day our daily bread. What in the world? How simple. You know, that seems maybe in our society, it's something that we don't even think is necessary because, you know, we have so much and it seems to be fairly easy to provide for our daily needs. I would say that this verse here is sort of a figurative term that means much more than wheat flour bread. I hope you can bear with me if that's something different than the way you believe. But it's things that are needful to live, and bread is one of them for sure. Are we praying? Is this our prayer that we want God to give us our daily sustenance for our needs? I think it's very, very good that we work through this Lord's Prayer, and I would have 3 points for us to consider this morning as we look at this part of the Lord's Prayer. And I want to break it down into the 7 words. I want to break it down into 3 points. One was the first one with 2 words, and the second one was 2 words, and then the third one with 3 words. Give us. I would like to look at some conclusions that we can make from these 2 words. Number one is that we are the receiver. Give us. We are the receiver. We have received. We receive everything that we have, everything that we do from God. You know, we think we're a good, we learned the trade of masonry. We learned the trade of laying concrete, and we're good farmers, and we can provide for our own. But no, we're just stewards of what God has given us, entrusted us with. We are essentially just a receiver. He is the giver. We are the receiver. We are dependent on Him. We are reliant on Him. We are the receiver. He is the giver. When someone else gives to us, we become obliging to that person. We become appreciative of that person. But here we need to realize, number one, is that we are the receiver and that He is the giver. God is giving us everything that we have and give. And our daily bread is our sustenance to live. We are reliant on Him to give to us. He makes a needy person. We are needy people. Dependent on God or the owner of this earth for what we have. That humbles me. That should humble you. It should humble you as you depend on God for your daily bread that He is giving to us. But you know what? Does God really have the resources to give to us what we need? That is what we worry about. Does God really have the resources to give to us? Well, let's go to Psalm 24. Let's go to some simple, well-known scriptures. Psalm 24. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For He hath founded it upon the seas and establisheth upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in His holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. The principle is stated in the first 2 verses. The We need to recognize that God is the owner and that he controls the world and he owns us. He hath founded it, he hath created it, and we are his. But then it says, the interpretation of this great principle is found in verse 3 and 4. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? The person that believes that the earth is the Lord's. That is who is going to descend, who is going to ascend into the hill of the Lord. Who shall stand in his holy place? The person that believes that the earth is the Lord's. He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity. Today, we need to recognize that God is the giver. We are the receiver. Therefore, God is good, and he is in control. We could go to many other verses, such as Deuteronomy. Behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens is the Lord's, thy God, and earth also, and with all that therein is. Does God have the resources to give to us? He owns the world. He's created the world. He's keeping the world. Yeah. What should we worry? Should we worry? No, we shouldn't worry. God is in control. Sometimes we worry about, is God losing control, and we will not be able to receive our daily bread. We won't be able to grow our crops like we used to. And is God really out of control? Because, you know, like I said, climatologists are making dire predictions about climate change. Let's go to 2 Peter 3 and verse 5. And following. Now, here what I'd like to say is where we run into difference with the climatologists and the scientists that say the world is evolving into a place that we cannot live. Verse 5 says that, for this they willingly are ignorant of. That's the scientists. That by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. The principle is that by the word of God, the heavens were of old. They came to be by the word of God. The earth came to be by the word of God. Wherein the world, verse 6, that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. That was by the word of God, that the word of God decreed it, and the world was flooded. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserving unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. We can pray, give us our daily bread, being assured that the same word is still in control. The same word. Folks, and I really as excited about this as I studied this, that the same word that created the world, the same word that called the flood into to be is the same word that is keeping us kept in store by the heavens and earth, which are now by the same word are kept in store, and they're reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of godly men. There is one day when there's serious climate change coming, folks. There's serious global warming, but it's reserved for a future day. Reserved unto fire against the day of judgment. This whole world is reserved for serious global warming, and that is, it's the judgment and perdition of godly men. Till then, he's keeping it in store by his word. The forever settled word of God, the forever settled word of God is keeping it in store. Psalm 119, I believe it's 89. We'll go there. In summary, we do not generate our own daily bread. It is given to us. No matter how much you know about coaxing the next bushel of corn to come, or the ton of silage, or the sack of potatoes, we still are gifted by God when he gives us our daily bread. I think that goes without saying. This principle will change our life from one of worry to one of gratitude. Brother Sherwin talked about that this morning in these devotions. I appreciate it very much. But we either worry about things or we're thankful for our daily bread. Men worry about providing living for themselves. Women worry about the nest. That's the usual process of worry. But dear ones, we have that same word which is going to keep in store this whole world, and it's reserved for a future happening. Let's go to Genesis 8 and verse 22. This was God's words after the flood, and it's a promise to us. Genesis 8 and verse 22, when Noah was coming out of the ark and he was making the promises to his seed and the humanity in general, he says, "While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease." Folks, we have a promise. We have a promise from God. It's that same word. We can rest in the fact that we will have summer and winter, and day and night will not cease, regardless of what the scientists say. What is more sure, God's promises or science's predictions? I'm willing to take my risk with God and his promises, not scientists and their prediction. Isaiah 54:9 says, "For this is as the waters of Noah unto me, for as I have sworn that the waters of Noah shall no more go over the earth, so have I sworn that I will not be wroth with thee, nor rebuke thee. For the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness will not depart from thee." So there can be unparalleled natural disasters, but his promises to us as his children shall not fail. The simple answer is the word of God controls our environment. It controls, and it also ought to reach down into our life so that we can claim the promises of God no matter what situation you face, and be assured that God is still in control. The second point in the message this morning is this day. This day. Give us this day our daily bread. The bread for today. The need is immediate. We must have bread now. We are not praying for bread for tomorrow. We need it today. There's an interesting fact about God, is that we cannot store up his blessings, but that he gives it to us as we need them. The just shall live by faith, it says in Habakkuk, and in, I believe it's in Hebrews, that the just shall live by faith, and that's a daily dependence on him. He wants us to come with a constant state of dependence on him. Give us this day. Give us this day. We are to pray without ceasing, for give us this day our daily bread. Let's go to Exodus chapter 16, where this is illustrated. And this is the account of the children of Israel and their journey through the wilderness. And they, you know, they started to grumble about what was going to happen. They were really worried about what was going to happen, you know, with their environment and, you might say, their global warming or their worry about how are we going to do it in the outreach, or, you know, any number of other questions you might ask. And let's read this passage, well-known passage, once again, and understand what God has to say to us. This is the thing which the Lord hath commanded. Gather of it, in talking about the manna, gather of it of every man according to his eating, an omer for every man according to the number of your persons. Take ye every man for them which are in his tents. And the children of Israel did so, and gathered some more, some less. And when they did meet it with an omer, he that gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. They gathered every man according to his eating. And Moses said, let no man leave of it till the morning. Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses, but some of them left it until the morning, and it bred worms and stank. And Moses was wroth with them, and they gathered it every morning, every man according to his eating. When the sun was waxed hot, it melted. Give us this day our daily bread. An illustration of God's constant providence to his people. You know, there were some of them that were smart and said, oh, we want to be rich. We want a lot of bread. We want to be sure that we have bread. So in verse 20, they hearkened not unto Moses, but they kept it until the morning, and it bred worms and stank. And Moses was wroth with them. How many times in our state of worry about the future, worry about what's going to happen, that we get into trouble, and the very thing that we worry about comes to be our vice, and in this case, it bred worms and stank. It got maggots in it. And it was horrendous. It was not anything but bread. Give us this day our daily bread. Over in 1 Timothy 6, it says, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. From such withdraw thyself. Wow, isn't that a powerful verse? Supposing that gain, money, actually the word gain there is money getting. Supposing that money getting is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. Money getting as godliness. So wrong. But godliness with contentment is great gain. Contentment, sufficiency is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. They that will be rich fall into a temptation and a snare, into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. They that will be rich, they that want more than our daily bread, where their desire is to be rich, or like it says here that they pierce themselves through with many sorrows. It says, thou, O man of God, flee these things. Have faith in him for today. Give us this day. Give us this day our daily bread. And follow after righteousness. Get busy. Do the right thing today. Serve the Lord. Godliness and faith and love and patience and meekness. When our money getting, this is a practical admonition. When our money getting, our gain, our money getting begins to trump our desire for righteousness, godliness, faith, love, and patience, it is the root of all evil. That root, it calls the desire to a root, the money getting is a root. It grows down in there, down inside, and it is part of our being, our part of our makeup that controls our decisions, controls our buying, controls our living. And that root is growing all the time, and it comes out in many different ways. And it's loving money. But rather, he says, follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness, and so forth. Having food and raiment, therewith be content. Over in Hebrews it says, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Give us this day our daily bread. God won't leave you. You love God, and he loves to be with his people. And God will not leave you. I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Give us this day. Thirdly, our daily bread. Bread is all our daily needs. The daily needs of our substance is that it is needful. Bread has a much broader meaning than bread made from wheat flour. It means that bread has always been considered the staple for life. Bread is all the things we need to live. He has assured us that he alone knows what is our need, and he will give it to us on time. Give us this day our daily bread. He has assured us that he will receive what he alone knows is best for our need on time. A lot of times, you know, I've often wondered is, how does this person, is he so successful And he has new this and new that, new tractors and new pickups and big machinery and so forth. And I am something different than that. I believe God is very personal, and he gives us our daily bread, for me. It's for Joe. It's our daily bread. He has assured us that we will receive what he alone knows is Joe's need, and he will give it to us on time. Isn't that something that should drive us in our life as we serve him, that he will give us what we need on time? Give us this day our daily bread. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8. Probably my favorite verse in all the Bible. Let's read verse 7. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Now here's the verse I want. And God is able to give us our daily bread, what we need. He is to make all grace abound toward us, toward you. He is able to give us our daily bread. He is able to do that. He has this great storehouse of everything. He is able to do that, make all grace abound toward us, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Now, I should ask the question today, are you ready to believe that verse? Are you ready to claim that promise? That he always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. God has the bread. God has the bread. He can give it to us if we need it. Regardless of climate change, or if there is climate change, global warming, or not. Folks, we serve a great God that can give us our daily bread. He is able to provide everything that you need. And he wants you to come to him daily. Daily. Give us this day our daily bread. Let's go to Hebrews now. Hebrews chapter 1. More specifically towards this idea of global warming and climate change. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thy hands. The foundation of the earth was laid by God. The heavens are the works of thy hands. He spoke the stars into existence. He spoke the sun into existence. These all shall perish, but thou remainest, They all shall wax old as doth a garment, and as a vesture shalt thou fold them up. They shall be changed, but thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. Folks, I believe what the scientists are saying is probably somewhat true, that there is some variations for whatever reason in our climate, but the promise that we have is that, and found in verse 12, that they shall be changed, but thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. It is a matter of faith. Am I going to be worried about climate change, outreach? Many other things, whether God's going to take care of us, whether relationships, whatever. Or am I going to believe the Bible and the Word of God about my life? Give us this day our daily bread. There is no climate change to worry about if you are experiencing a relationship with God, that you are assured of Him giving us our daily bread. There is a climate change coming, folks, that we need to worry about. We talked about it before, but there's a serious global warming coming in. Fervent heat is going to dissolve this environment. It's going to spin out of control. Gravity is going to let go, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent they may be found of Him in peace, without spot and blameless. Folks, one of the ways in which you can be found in peace and without spot and blameless is that you put your faith in this God, trusting Him that He will give us this day our daily bread. God help us to live and experience the faith that is so clearly taught in this powerful little verse. Give us this day our daily bread.